guy who knows way more about golf than I do, Matt Rudy from Golf Digest joins us. Matt, do you think Woods, you know, like, is making the cut? Would that be a good weekend for him?
It depends on who's measuring. If you ask him, he would say absolutely no. I mean, last year he won 5 tournaments and led the tour in money. But if you asked him, he would say the year was a failure because not only did he not win a major, he wasn't even really in contention for any of them. I think, you know, your point you just made a second ago is the big one. Catching Jack Nicklaus in career majors, I think that's the driving force for him. And progress toward that goal is how he measures his year. And, I mean, let's face it, back surgery, age 39, the odds are getting longer, maybe by the minute.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's forget about what Wood says. How does he look in your estimation? I mean, I know the odds are against coming off back surgery at 39 to come out and win this thing, but is he anywhere close to contending in your mind?
Well, I wrote a piece about a week ago with Hank Haney, his coach previous to Sean Foley, and he told me that it takes between 4 and 5 weeks to go from zero, you know, laying on your back in a hospital bed to being back at full speed. So if we take that sort of at face value, and granted, that's when he was 30 the last time he did this. Now he's 40. You know, I guess you could say that this week he's physically back to where he would need to be, but that doesn't count the tournament readiness you have, you know, to be able to go play 4 rounds and be able to hit all the shots you want to hit and have the rust from not playing be shaken off. So I think his swing definitely looks shorter and wider. It's a little different than it was before the back surgery. The biggest factor, I think, is putting. You know, his putter hasn't been the same since he was winning 4 majors in a row. And even if he is able to control the ball off the tee this week, and he should be able to because he loves hitting irons off the tees here at this venue, the big mystery will be, can he two-putt from 30, 40, 50 feet like you have to at the British Open to stay in it? Those 3- and 4-footers haven't been kind to him lately.
Matt Ruby joins us. Matt, some big-name guys, you know, Woods at least has a legit excuse. He's been injured. Jason Duffner has really struggled this year. Same with Phil Mickelson. Now, you know, what's wrong with these guys' games right now?
It's really interesting. I was having this conversation with a couple guys in my office the other day. You know, how high the bar is now. The Tigers really spoiled us to the point where 1 or 2 majors a year and 4 or 5 other victories, that's an average season now that needs to be considered quote-unquote great. You know, for the rest of the mortals, you win a major every 3, 4, 5 years, maybe, or win 1 or 2 in your career, that's a good career. And it's really hard to consistently play at a high level like Tiger's been able to do. And even Mickelson, I mean, Phil's 42 now, you know, just physically, he's got this psoriatic arthritis, just physically he's not able to play at his peak 10, 12, 15 weeks a year. It's more like, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks a year. So for Phil, the mystery this week is going to be, you know, how does he feel? How are his hands? You know, is his walking hurting him? You know, and he was able to put 2 weeks together last year at the Scottish Open and the British Open and really provide a great moment for everybody. I mean, it was a great moment for golf in winning this, you know, the least likely of the 4 majors for him. You know, and Duffner, I think 1 major is probably just about right, you know, for his career. I think, you know, he's a guy who's a, you know, 8 or 10 win overall guy with 1 major, and it's not really that surprising that he hasn't been able to keep that pace going into the, you know, the next season.
Matt, going to the newer wave of players here, couple guys I'm wondering about. Rory McIlroy's been up and down in his game. And then there's a real young guy I think a lot of people's eyes will be on, Hideki Matsuyama. I think he's only, 21 or 22 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. What's your assessment of those two in this field?
I think those are two really great guys to pick if you're looking at the under-25 crowd. And, I mean, Rory's obviously done it a couple times now. He's won a PGA going away, and he's won a U.S. Open going away. And he's having the same growing pains that most guys not named Tiger have. You know, he switched equipment, he switched managers, he's had a couple high-profile breakups with women, and I think he's going through the same thing you or I might have gone through when we were in college. And there's no question about the talent and the way he plays. Matsuyama's another great example, a guy that is just fearless. You know, when you're able to come out and play professional golf as a 19, 20-year-old, Ricky Fowler's the same way, and your bills are paid forever, you know, with big endorsement deals. You're able to go out and concentrate strictly on playing and not worrying so much if you finish, you know, second or tenth in a major. You're trying to go out and win those. And I think those two guys, because of the way they play, with the power they have, I mean, they generate easy power. It's not like, you know, Tiger, even in his prime, where it looks like he's revving really hard to hit the ball that far. These are guys with easy power and guys that we're going to be hearing a lot about over the next decade for sure.
Right now, maybe the hottest guy on the planet is Justin Rose, right? He just won the Scottish Opens. He's won the Quicken Loans title earlier, but he's missed the cut the last two appearances at the Open Championship. And, you know, that maybe means nothing. But, you know, this guy, what's the best part of his game right now? And do you think his game, the way he's playing right now, matches well with the course?
Oh, for sure. I think the strength of his game, and you really saw it at the U.S. Open last year, long iron. So he's a terrific long iron player, a terrific ball striker, and this venue is a strategic venue. The fairways are narrow. You have a chance to hit, you know, low running tee shots with irons, you know, 2-iron, 3-iron, and you're going to have to hit a lot of greens with longer clubs. And I think that suits his game perfectly. I mean, it's not going to be a putting contest. I mean, you have to putt well to win these, but it's not like, you know, 20 under is going to win. And the British Open is extremely site specific. You know, the venues are a lot different from each other, and they're different year to year, and the weather's different year to year. So I think he's going to take a lot. He won the Scottish Open this past week, played extremely well, and he now knows he can close in a major after what he was able to do over the last three holes at the U.S. Open last year. I mean, I think there's he's the betting favorite, 12-1. And when you think about the fact that now Martin Keimer, you know, the guy who blew everybody away at the Open, and Tiger are both 25-1, that's really a remarkable statement about where we are in golf right now.
Matt, has Hoylake had any of its edge taken off? I've heard it's been raining. Has it softened up, or is it still going to be concrete for those long irons to land, to hit those greens?
I think it's going to be a lot different than 06. You know, Tiger, I think we hit one driver the whole week, and it was able to hit it down those burned out fairways pretty far. I don't think it's going to play that way. It's going to play softer and a little more receptive than 06. But after the rain that they got today, it's supposed to be pretty nice and a little breezy until Saturday. Saturday's supposed to rain all day. So I think we're going to get, you know, kind of two halves of the tournament. You're going to have fair weather with wind and guys able to, if they're able to control the ball in the wind, have some putts, and then the rain's going to come in, and it'll be how people can deal with that added, you know, that the added sort of nuisance factor. And the guys who are able to you know, get through those landmines are the ones we're going to see in the afternoon on Sunday.
Matthew Rudy joins us from the Golf Digest, talking Open Championship, which starts tomorrow. Historically, have you looked at it? Do guys who start in the morning or afternoon, are they better, or does it all depend on how the weather goes from hour to hour?
It's really strong. The bias is towards guys that are able to hit both days of the weather coin. You know, and generally speaking, guys that are able to come out in the morning have it a little harder. You know, the weather, you know, and this is sort of a broad estimate, but, you know, the weather, you know, you get one thing in one half of the day and one thing the next half of the day. And obviously you flip, you know, you're playing at the other end of the spectrum the next day. So if you can catch the right, you know, balance or get a balance where you luck out and get the decent weather in both of those days, you're definitely going to have an easier run. But I think there is an advantage to playing earlier in the day on the first day and getting out instead of having to wait around and see what everybody's doing and have the golf course get all trampled up.
Matt, this question probably gets asked at every venue, but I'll ask it anyway. How do you think Hoylake sets up in terms of the guys who would have a real chance no matter where we're playing? In other words, is there any discernible difference among that upper tier who just might really feel at home playing this particular layout in the conditions that we're projecting?
It's really interesting that the modern quote-unquote player, and I think a good example is someone like Hunter Mahan. You know, there's guys who hit a straight high shot. They don't shape the ball very much. They don't like to play, you know, with super windy conditions. I think there's a few guys, especially on the American Tour, that specialize in that kind of game. And venues like this hurt that kind of player. Mm-hmm. You know, guys who are able to really shape shots, and Tiger is the perfect example of a guy who loves to do that. You know, guys that are able to shape shots and hit different shots and make good decisions. You know, the British Open, the greatest part about this tournament is you can be standing in the middle of the fairway, and there's three very viable, extremely different kinds of shots you could hit at any given time. And the guys that are able to pick those shots, you know, Ernie Els is another example, a guy who you would not have picked to win this tournament a couple of years ago, and a guy with a suspect putting stroke. He's able to win this event because he has so many different shots like that at his disposal. And I think guys who are able to pick shots and be creative are going to flourish over the guys who just kind of hit one stock pretty shot.
Looking, I guess, to the weekend, who is your underdog? Who's maybe your surprise guy to watch?
Well, if I'm getting 25-1, I'm going to put a little money on Martin Keimer. That's a, you know, I don't know if he's got it in him to win a couple majors in a row, but those are pretty steep odds for a guy who won the Players Championship and walked away with the U.S. Open. But I always like to check around for the older guys, and you know, Miguel Angel Jimenez has been so much fun to watch this year. He played great at the Masters. He's in his 50s now. He's playing some Champions Tour golf. This is a guy who hits a low draw off the tee, and that kind of shape and you know, the European style game is more suited to this event than any other. I mean, those are the kind of guys that, you know, I like to see for that kind of Tom Watson effect. You know, the guys that you don't hear about the rest of the year, but kind of perk up at a tournament like this.
What about Henrik Stenson? A lot of people thought he was the best golfer in the world last year, and you know, he's still, I think, third favorite heading into this one. But he hasn't been as dominant so far this year as he was last year.
For sure, if they were playing this in the last 3 or 4 weeks of last season, he would be the dominant favorite, and his number three ranking is kind of a residual effect of winning the FedEx Cup last year and playing so well in all those events in a row, but his form hasn't been quite the same this year. He's another guy who has a lot of European Tour experience in playing these kind of courses, and you know, you obviously can't count him out. Adam Scott's another guy who hasn't had terrific results this year, but he's won a Masters. He's been right there in the British Open. You know, he's the guy who folded to let Ernie Els catch him a couple of years ago. I think those are two guys that have the pedigree to do this, but you know, you haven't really heard a lot about them so far this year.
Matt, one crystal ball one from me. When we get to the final day, will we see Tiger Woods playing, and more important, in terms of contending, will we see Phil Mickelson in the last couple of foursomes?
Boy, can you imagine if both those guys were somewhere around the lead on Sunday? That would just be, not only would it be fantastic, it would be, you know, the time of day makes it so that it doesn't happen, you know, in the middle of the night for us here in North America. The odds are it's not going to be, certainly not going to be both of those guys. And if I were putting my money down, I think I would put it down on Phil before I put it down on Tiger, just because, you know, physically speaking, I think Phil's got a little more to give than Tiger at this point. I mean, granted, Tiger's the guy who's won a U.S. Open on a broken leg, so you can't really write him off and say he's got no chance. But, I mean, Mickelson, that would be fun to see, and it would really be a cool story. You know, the guy who just couldn't do it at the U.S. Open, where he's been second so many times, to be able to go and do it 2 years in a row at the British, that would be a pretty cool story.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch. We appreciate your time. Enjoy it.
You bet. Anytime.